Good news today. We didn't lose a ton of money. Craig Bolanos is joining us now, of course, the CEO and co-founder of Wealth Management Group. Craig, I'm glad we didn't talk yesterday. It's better to talk today, isn't it?
John, we're setting the bar pretty low by you saying at least we didn't lose any money or it wasn't that bad today. My heavens, I got to say, this has been, there's no doubt about it. I'm not making light of it, but if we set the stage, this has been one of the toughest starts to a year. In fact, I would even say it's been one of the toughest Aprils. I mean, going all the way back to 1970, on the back of these usual suspects, the hawkish Federal Reserve, supply chain worries, what? Now there's war in Europe and China has another shutdown? There's a lot going on in the capital markets today.
And I think there's just a confusing outlook looking ahead. Of course, the crystal balls are exactly that, right? We never really know what we're going to get. But there seems to be a wide range. I mean, we have Deutsche Bank saying not only they're predicting a recession, they're predicting a bad one. But then there's other places saying maybe we got a stock market rally coming later in the year. I'm not asking you to look in the crystal ball, but just say that, look, we got a lot of different opinions here, and it's hard to make what of what.
Well, you know, it's hard to make what of what, and I don't want to turn this into a soliloquy, but the reality is, yes, I mean, everybody is acknowledging the growing, I'm going to call it a litany of risks, right? I mean, the Fed's going to be coming in, tightening further than people had hoped they would need to. But at the end of the day, when we look at the economic data, if somebody says, I mean, John, does it look like a recession where you live?
No.
Does it feel like a recession where you work?
No, only when people tell me it on the show.
I got to tell you, it's probably not a recession. And I can move through all these points, but if I were to take a look at all of the factors, I have to say I do remain right now a little bit more optimistic than consensus on the prospects for U.S. growth. I just don't think we have a recession in 2023. And it's important to know that in these midterm election years, you know, again, it is a midterm in 2022, it's not that surprising to have stock indices fall as much as 17% before they bounce back. And I tell you what, check the box. You already got that in the NASDAQ, and you're not too far away on the S&P contract either. So I think people would be best to stay in the game and see how this plays out.
I love talking to Craig Bolanos. It lowers my blood pressure every time we do. He's the CEO, co-founder of Wealth Management Group. We're not done with our conversation. He's going to stick around. I want to talk about this quarterly earnings season so far, but let's get a look at traffic and weather. Mary Vandeveld. Continue our conversation with Craig Bolanos, who always joins us on these days that I need a calming voice. He's the CEO and co-founder of Wealth Management Group out of Inverness and Downers Grove as well. Okay, Craig, you mentioned before, you know, does it look like a recession? Does it feel like a recession where you are? I answer no to both those questions. I imagine a lot of people would. Some may disagree. I think a lot of people were kind of waiting for this quarterly earnings season to kind of give us some data that sort of showed which way the wind was blowing. And are we getting any of that, or is it just more tepid than anything?
Well, tepid is probably a very good word to use because, you know, we've had some significant pops. And yes, there's no doubt we've definitely seen some drops. You know, let's acknowledge that. I mean, Microsoft came out, you know, fantastic numbers again, supported in large part by its cloud computing business. You know, and then you take one of the other FANG names, you know, Alphabet, which is a call, of course, Google, you know, saw their shares fall after posting what is a sharp deceleration in YouTube ad sales growth. And of course, you know, you mentioned earlier Facebook, you know, which is, you know, better known as Meta. We're all going to be working and living in the metaverse at some point in time in the future. I mean, that goes back to a Disney movie called Wall-E. I fear it, so it's probably going to occur. You know, I mean, listen, here's the bottom line. You know, are companies still making money hand over fist? Yes. Does everybody have to have more tepid, realistic expectations? Most definitively, are we able at this point in time to take a cue that we're setting up for a massive market rally in the second half of the year? No. But in the same vein, we have to pay attention to the fact that we've held that March 8th intraday low not once, not twice, but thrice. So we might be okay here, data dependent.
Yeah, for sure. With supply chain stuff, I feel like it's one step forward. We get some good news about one particular sector where things are loosening up and the wheels are turning again. And then it's two steps backwards, and especially with what's happening in China right now.
The China is a huge story. I mean, people need to understand and appreciate, you know, when, I mean, just look at this. My brother-in-law went to buy a car the other day, and you know how the story goes, John. You're not getting it for anything less than MSRP. Usually it's MSRP plus, right? You know, the sticker plus a couple thousand dollars. And think about the simple concept of electrical harnessing. And when China is following a policy of zero COVID, you don't have people going to work. But the other side of that trade is there is a middle class emerging market consumer in China. And if they're not leaving their building, they're not leaving their township or borough, they're also not spending. So this China story on top of inflation, on top of the Fed, on top of Ukraine, has definitely what I call slowed the pace thus far this year. But again, think this too shall pass when it comes to the China slowdown relative to how they're handling the virus.
You mentioned the Fed, they're meeting next week. Okay, I feel like that's, they're in a lose-lose situation and have been for a while. The two people say they reacted too late, but what, October, November, you still wanted to help out the economy maybe a little bit? It's hard to, obviously it's easier to look now looking back, but the wall of worry continues to build as we get towards next week.
Yeah, I mean, the wall of worry continues to build, but everybody needs to understand, especially if you are a fixed income investor, a bond investor, right? We spend so much of our time talking about stocks, but many people have what I call these balanced portfolios, target date portfolios, and they might not have had the bond, quote unquote, what's usually the safe money, act as that ballast. And what I want people to recognize is the bond market is forward looking. The bond market has already priced in all of these interest rate hikes that are coming. So I don't think you're going to see this continued disruption in the bond market as a result of the Fed meeting. I mean, the truth is the Fed is so incredibly communicative. We already know what's going to happen before they actually do it. And that's sometimes why you see people, you know, quote unquote, buy the rumor, sell the news when it comes to Fed speak these days.
Yeah. As you mentioned, the midterm election makes things kind of wonky. Why? What is it about midterm elections? Or is that just what the data points to and there's no concrete reason?
Well, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, everybody likes gridlock, that investors and business leaders like gridlock. I think to a certain degree, you could already argue there is gridlock, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Is Congress really blue or is Congress a shade of purple, given certain things didn't get passed going into the fall of last year? But, you know, at the end of the day, something that is so incredibly important that I want people to focus on is, again, historically, in these midterm election years, we sometimes see these drops in market averages by about 17% peak to trough. However, the good news is 1 year off of those lows, did you know that stocks have historically gained more than 32%? John, oh. If this wasn't radio, I would flash a stock chart for you right now off my Bloomberg terminal, and that's what I want people to be paying attention to. I am not seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. I'm just being realistic that oftentimes the intervention from the Fed doesn't start creating that demand destruction until about a year, year and a half down the road, and the Fed's just getting started. Hence, I don't think we have a recession in 2022.
Right. It's so interesting you mentioned that about the midterms driving the market down and then an immediate rebound and the idea of, you know, of gridlock being a friend of the market. Yeah, I mean, midterms are often a check on the president who's in office, no matter which party it is. We've seen it, huge losses for the president's party in his first term 2 years after his election, and it goes both ways. And it's just kind of the pendulum of American politics, and it affects the economy, of course, too. All right. Bottom line, this isn't a normal year. These aren't normal times, Craig. There's just a lot. I mean, if you, average investor, average American, feel like, boy, there's a lot going on, you ain't wrong.
No, you're not wrong at all. And I want everybody just to pay attention. Let's control what we can control. You can control your asset allocation, how you diversify. You can control your rebalancing protocols, and you can always strive to good security selection. And John, I'm going to point one more thing. inflation's driving everybody crazy. We've talked about it on this show tonight. We've talked about it previously. I want to give a reminder to savers that are out there that you can still buy those Series I savings bonds that are paying a ridiculously high interest rate, and it's going to move the needle for many people with a part of their cash reserves. I think people can take that away as a sincere and an actionable idea on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's a great idea because I know that the rate that they currently have lasts through April, and then they'll get a new one, I believe May 1. Am I right on that, Craig? We'll get a new number soon?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, in the 26 years I've been doing this, I have to acknowledge I've never seen anything like this. You know, good old-fashioned Series I, not E, not double E, Series I savings bonds. The I stands for inflation, doesn't stand for interest. And you're right, John. The bonds currently are paying 7.12% through the month of May. Come May 1st, that looks like it's going to recalibrate to an APR of 9.62%. Ooh. So who wouldn't like to generate some 9.62% interest on some of their safe money capital?
Absolutely. Boy, that seems great to me. And if you're worried about the penalties and such, I think there's a five-year vesting period, but you only lose 3 months of interest if you pull out a little earlier. I'll work through those specifics in a bit. But Craig, it's always great to chat with you, my friend. Thanks for hopping on, okay?
No, my pleasure, John. Thanks for having me back. Let's go Hawks. Big game tonight. Last one of the season.
For sure. Thanks, Craig, the CEO and co-founder of Wealth Management Group. Always does great stuff.